Years ago, at this point many years ago, my wife Elaine and I spent a couple weeks in China. We were staying with missionaries, observing the work they were doing, working and evangelizing among an unreached people group in southern China. And at the end of our trip, our host took us into the city where our flight was leaving, and we got there a few hours early to do some souvenir shopping. We walked around stores and open-air markets looking for last-minute trinkets to bring home to our family and friends. And in the back corner of a big building that seemed sort of like a cross between a shopping mall and a farmer's market, there was a small art shop. The artists were Christians, and the paintings and the decorations that they made contained Christian imagery, quotes from Bible verses, and scenes from Scripture. We bought two hanging scrolls to hang on our walls. One was a scene from the book of Revelation with members of every tribe and tongue and nation gathering together to worship the Lamb. And another was a painting of a cherry blossom with a Bible verse handwritten in Chinese. And if you've ever seen Chinese calligraphy, you can probably imagine basically what the verse looks like on that scroll. Intricate, detailed little shapes, tiny little crisscrossing lines that come together to make a written character that has a specific meaning. And when written in calligraphy, not just normal handwritten font, these Chinese characters become little paintings, beautiful works of art in and of themselves, with their careful and deliberate brushstrokes to produce writing that's both beautiful and meaningful. However, Chinese calligraphy is an art that I personally cannot fully appreciate because I don't know how to read those characters. Where I only see beauty, if I look at this writing, those who know how to read the characters see both beauty and meaning. In a similar way, St. Augustine compared the miracles that Jesus performs for us in the Gospels to calligraphy. He makes this comparison in a sermon on today's Gospel lesson, the story of the widow at Nain and her son. Augustine was preaching in a time when very few people could read. And he says that if somebody who cannot read looks at beautiful writing, the most that they can hope to gain from that writing is some sort of appreciation for the art or the craftsmanship that goes into taking care to make such writing. Without being able to read, surface level is the only appreciation that can be understood, the surface level beauty of the characters. And this is what it's like for someone to hear or to read about a miracle that Jesus performs without understanding the underlying meaning of that miracle. We may be amazed by Jesus' wonder working, but if we don't understand how its meaning is being given to us and what that meaning is, then the miracle cannot teach us. So we need to read Jesus' miracles if we're to understand their lessons for us. And so as we encounter today's gospel lesson, we should ask ourselves, what is Jesus teaching us through this miracle? What is the truth and the meaning behind the beauty of this action? When Jesus came to the village of Nain, he encountered a funeral procession. We know nothing about this young man or his mother. What we know is that he died, and his mother was a widow, and he her only son, so she was now left alone. Nobody was left in the world to care for her, provide for her, or protect her. And so between the pain of losing her only son to death and the fear of her new life alone in this world, Jesus stepped into a situation that was a dark one for that widow. The first thing that we should see here and appreciate is that death is not natural. It is something that should not be, yet it is the inevitable reality for all of humanity as a result of Adam's sin. Death is a separation, first of our souls from body, and ultimately soul from God. When the scriptures speak of death, they are speaking of the result of sin. St. Paul says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. Death is the inevitable destination of the path of sin. Sin is what we call it when we choose the path that takes us away from God. Sin will lead to separation from God. We are going to together confess our sins in just a few moments, because we experience the consequences of our own individual sins, and we also experience the effects, like death, of the collective sin of all of humanity that we are born into. Death, as a result of sin, is what Jesus encountered when he met the widow mourning her only son. And from the vantage point of this world, those mourners sitting there with the widow, those carrying the pallbearers of the casket of the young man, death is a tragedy because it's an ending. It's the end of a story. Grief and weeping are natural responses for us when we're faced with death. But Jesus' response in the face of death that he gives to the widow is, "Do not weep." Now, this was not a denial of the widow's suffering or grief, but an acknowledgement of the goodness that Jesus was about to do. The ugliness of the young man's death is about to be transformed by Jesus into a beautiful sign pointing forward to Jesus' resurrection. And all it takes for Jesus to do this is a single word: arise. The young man sits up, and he is restored to his mother. And upon seeing what Jesus did, the people responded, "A great prophet has risen among us." While they correctly recognized the divine power at work among them, these people did not yet correctly read the calligraphy of this miracle. When the prophet Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead in the Old Testament, he cried out to God, asking that God would restore the boy to life. At Nain, Jesus himself restored the young man to life. Jesus says, "Arise," because Jesus is more than a prophet. Following this story of raising the widow's son, Luke recounts the story of John the Baptist sending his disciples to ask Jesus whether or not Jesus was the Messiah whom God had promised that he would send to his people Israel. Jesus' response to John's questions was to point to his miracles. He says this: "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Earlier in Luke chapter 4, Jesus read Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 in the synagogue. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah, and he predicted the signs that the Messiah would perform as part of his messianic ministry. Jesus sat down after reading Isaiah's prophecy and told the people in the synagogue that he, Jesus, had fulfilled that scripture. Jesus is the messianic deliverer promised to God's people to set them free from their enemies. Jesus' miracles proved his messianic identity and the fact that he was the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. But notice in that prophecy, Isaiah did not say the Messiah would raise the dead. So by raising the widow's son, Jesus revealed the full extent of his messianic ministry. Yes, he came to set his people free, but he came to set his people free from the ultimate captor, death. And he came to set us free from death by forgiving our sins. And this is where the beauty of the miracle meets the power of the truth that it is trying to reveal to us. Sin is to death what forgiveness in the Messiah is to life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, as he told us in John's gospel. And this means that Jesus is the one who gives life to us, because he himself is the source of all life. St. Paul tells us the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave the young man new life. And in doing so, he also gave the widow new life by restoring her son to her. The people who saw the miracle, they proclaimed also that God has visited his people. Our exile, our captivity to death because of our sin, is over. The Messiah has come to deliver us. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, has forgiven our sins and brought his people back into communion with him. And this is life. The truth is that only in Christ can life be found. We who were dead in our sins and trespasses experience Jesus' resurrection. Having been baptized into his death, we're promised new life raised with him. And so we look forward to the fruit of that resurrection, when our own bodies, like him, will be raised from the dead, transformed to be like Christ, and we will enter eternal life with him. If we read the calligraphy of Christ's miracles, if we see the truth within the beauty of this resurrection, then we learn that we are people of Jesus' resurrection. We are no longer being carried to the grave by our sin. We now stand cleansed with all the saints in union with Christ, the resurrection and the life himself. Because we now participate in Christ's new life, we look forward in faith to the blessed hope of the glorious resurrection of the dead, when our bodies will be made like his, and we will forever enjoy life with him in the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Resurrection is restoration. It is healing. But it is restoration and healing that makes what was broken better than how it was before. To make these beautiful glass windows that teach us the story of Jesus' gospel, you have to take glass, break it into smaller pieces, and stain it. As a result of that process, when light shines through these broken and stained pieces of glass, the message of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, shines through in a beautiful way. In Christ's resurrection, we are more like stained glass than we are like a classic car perfectly restored so it looks just like it did on the lot 50 years ago. Each of us here today have experienced things that have left us weeping, just like the widow who lost her son. We've been broken. We've been stained. We've been unfairly treated. by those who should have led us well at our work or our home or our church. We've had severe medical diagnoses that blindside us, leave us stunned. We've been lied to and betrayed by those closest to us. We've lost those we love most to death. Jesus knows all of that. He stands with you, with me, in those moments, saying to us, "Do not weep." The joy that replaces the widow's weeping is ours today, because Jesus still raises the dead, even today. Our scars are still there, but true healing is also there. The kind of healing that meets us in a place of death and raises us to the place of resurrection life with Jesus himself. The kind of healing that makes it possible for you to live without fear of tomorrow, to forgive those who have wronged you, and to rejoice in the hope of the future resurrection, where all those in Christ will be reunited. This is what the kingdom of God means. This is the reality of the kingdom that Jesus established by his death and resurrection, and that we now live as the body of Christ, formed by the Holy Spirit, fed by Christ's sacraments, reconciling the world around us to the Father. And so live that reality today. A kingdom of people who have been redeemed, renewed, restored by the power of Christ's resurrection, living that life in us, reaching out to others in love and forgiveness. Amen.